Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, one of the things, as I was writing this sermon, I was trying to imagine Jesus floating into the air. And then I had the song from the fifth dimension, Up, Up and Away. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, I couldn't. You know, but I thought, what a great title for a sermon, Up, Up and Away for Ascension Sunday. So that's what we had on that. By the way, I got a dirty look from Peggy this morning during the reading.
You left the word
Selah. I left the word Selah in there. In Hebrew, in the Psalms, we have the word S-E-L-A-H, Selah. What Selah means is next. If they have a psalm that has a subject and then they go on to another subject, Selah means we're going to go to the next subject. Okay. Normally, I take those out, but I missed this one. So I love that. You know, we reverently say, next. It's one of those things. Well, Melchizedek, isn't that a great name? We first see Melchizedek in Genesis 14, verse 18. He's a priest of the Most High God. And he talks to Abraham. And Abraham recognizes him as a priest of the Most High God. Psalm 110. Talks about you will be a priest in the order of Melchizedek forever, which is where that came from in our intro today. Hebrews 6 and 7 talks about Melchizedek, and there's a lot of things about that, that Melchizedek is the pre-incarnate Christ, but that's a sermon for another day. I mean, we could spend an entire sermon time on that. But we're talking today about Jesus leaving the apostles. Now, the ascension happens on the 40th day after the resurrection. Remember what the meaning of 40 in the Bible is, a time of trial and, you know, things that you got to work on. So, does Jesus have to work on anything? Well, no. Who does? The apostles. This is the time for the apostles to read, to learn. And remember, in our readings today, it talks about, and Jesus had to open the minds of the apostles to understand Scripture. You know, I keep on talking about the apostles didn't get it. Well, it's because the apostles are people. And let's face it, that day when they're walking to Bethany, you know, Jesus didn't tell them, we're going to go to Bethany, and then I'm going to fly up into the air. And you could hear them if you did that. I mean, it's the same thing like the Transfiguration. Remember when James and Peter and John were with him? And all of a sudden, Jesus' robes turn white. He goes up in the air with Moses and Elijah. And they said, we're going to build three tents, you know, all this stuff. They get on the ground. It's because you had somebody. Yes? I should do that. Hello? God? Yes. Don't talk about this today. Okay. But anyway, we had, remember the Transfiguration, we have all this stuff going on. So, the apostles are walking with Jesus to Bethany, and Jesus blesses them, which I would imagine happens a lot, and then he goes up in the air. Up, up, and away. And I don't know about you, but if I was an apostle, I'd probably go that day. You know, because the thing with Jesus is that Jesus is a man, okay, and a normal man. And they're with him every day, and you can't convince me they didn't tease each other and work. I mean, usually, as I've told you before in movies, you see the apostles. You know, come on. You know, they're not going to act that way. They're people. But when Jesus puts on that mantle of divinity, things change, don't they? And remember, after the resurrection, Jesus no longer refers to himself as the Son of Man. He refers to himself as the Son of God. You know, so we have this situation, and Jesus has told them just before he went, you know, you're not going to see me. And then you're going to see me. And then you're not. And you know, if I was an apostle sitting there and seeing, I see him, and I'm not going to see him, then I'm going to see him again. What does he mean? Okay? And exactly, we've had those readings in the last couple of weeks leading up to today. So we have Jesus as Melchizedek, which means the King of Righteousness. Okay? The priest of God in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, who is the Son of God. Not the Son of Man anymore, but the Son of a living God. All right, let's look at that first reading, the ascension of Jesus. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They still are expecting that he's going to be a king on a throne and that Israel is going to be in charge of everybody, including Egypt and that kind of thing. It's going to be an earthly kingdom. And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. Now remember, I've talked to you about this before, the difference between robes and garments. Because we receive a white garment at the time of our baptism. Robes are earned, okay, or they're given to the saints. Okay? So we have two men that are standing there in two robes, the two witnesses. Well, where else did we have two witnesses? Well, the Transfiguration, okay, Moses and Elijah. We have the two angels, or two witnesses, who are in the tomb at the resurrection. We now have two witnesses at the ascension, and these are all big and important times in the life of Jesus. Then in Revelation, we have the two witnesses. Well, why two witnesses? Well, remember, in Jewish culture, to be true, you have to have two witnesses for it to be true. All I could think of was when I was doing this, verily, verily, I say unto you, which ESV translates as truly, truly, I say unto you, but I like the word verily. But Jesus is the Son of God, who is both fully man and fully divine. What is wrong with having the Son of God have two divine witnesses that witness to this truth? Think about that for a second. Not just people, but divine witnesses. Remember Dustin Hoffman and Little Big Man? And he's with Chief Dan George, and he's going to die. And so Dustin Hoffman's with his grandfather. And the grandfather says, it's time to die. And he closes his eyes. And there's silence on the screen. And Dustin Hoffman says, grandfather, yeah, it's not my time. So then they have to get up, and they got to walk back to camp together, because it wasn't his time. You know, Jesus, in this case, tells them, the apostles, what he's going to do. Okay. So we have one part of the scriptures that doesn't explain that. This one does. But he's going to ascend to his Father and sit at the right hand of God. Unlike what happened in that movie, where he says it's time and it doesn't happen, this one is time and it does happen. Now, we know that Jesus went to heaven and is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. And that means that he's in the seat of power, correct? So is Jesus sitting up there with the Father on the throne every day? Probably not. It's the difference between literal and figurative. Because we know that Jesus also does things in the world today. Okay? And the thing is, his seat of power is there, and he's been given that power by God. Okay? All right, so then, we have the truth of this power. So the two witnesses are there, and the two witnesses witness to the apostles that he's going to come back. The two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, Why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So everything, I think, comes back to the two things, the incarnation of Jesus, who became a man and is divine, and who is in his divine form, goes back to God in heaven with the promise that he will come again. Well, why? Well, he made that promise to all of us that he would return so that we too might be with him in heaven and have everlasting life. So what these stories are telling us is not only what's happening to Jesus, but the promise of what's coming back, the end times. And remember, the end times are just as important. During Advent and during Lent, we talk about the end times. It's so important. And then the rest of the year, we don't. Okay, well, we're not going to talk about that. Well, but yet this is telling us that he's coming back in the same way. So he ascends into heaven, and he's going to come back down out of heaven in the same way. Well, that blessing of eternal life, isn't that why we're all here today? Because through faith, we believe in this promise, the promise of the oath that Jesus made to us. Yeah, he made it to the apostles. But by doing so, isn't he saying the same thing to us? Because they're taking that message out and sharing it. When Jesus rose from that tomb, it changed the world. Verily, verily, I say unto you. When Jesus is talking to the apostles, and this is one thing for us to remember, it's not just to them. He's talking to all of us. All of us who are apostles of the risen Christ. And don't you think that that message has been very important since that day in 33 AD? You see that all of our hymns today deal with praise and worship. And there's reason for this. Remember at the end of the gospel, we are told, "And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He's setting up Pentecost, okay? And as he led them out as far as Bethany and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. And here it is. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. You know, as we look at this story today, I think that last sentence is why we're here this morning, and that to me is a wonderful blessing. The apostles went to the temple and they worshiped God, and they were continually in that temple praising God. And this is the lesson we have shared with us today. Restore the joy of our salvation and uphold us with thy free spirit. And may the Spirit of our living Christ empower you and keep your minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.